webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
We had our countdown set and everything, and of course, the whole thing got screwed up. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, November 3rd, 2010, the only third day of November 2010 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this historic evening. Glad to have you with us. If you are logged on live, we are welcoming you to join the program at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Every night, every day is an historic day. There's never going to be another day like the one that we are in the midst of having. And if you are listening on the archive, we hope you had a good Wednesday and you're having a wonderful current day, whatever day you happen to be logged on to. It was a historical making day here in the United States of America last night and today, as we had a big midterm election here, and the House changed more seats, more representatives at any time since just after World War II. Some people are happy about it. Some people are sad about it. Some people it's good news, and some people it's bad news. To a lot of people, they don't give a rat's ass. But we're happy to report, ladies and gentlemen, that on this webcast, we always have news that is good for everybody, whether they're listening, whether they know it, whether they have any clue or not, that they are the righteousness of God, regardless of faith, regardless of action, regardless of belief, regardless of religion, regardless of so-called, what the church calls, sin patterns, regardless of their thought life, regardless of their race, regardless of their sex, regardless of their sexual orientation, their national origin, religious affiliation, everybody has been made one with God. They're one in God. They're one with each other. They're one with themselves. And the man that has brought us for the better part of a quarter century now, this good news, is online with us from the home offices of the Gospel Revolution, the president and founder of said revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Glenn, it's good to be back again on Wednesday night. You know, this is something I always look forward to. It's really is amazing. You know, when you were sharing about the election last night, I couldn't help but think about the election that took place 2,000 years ago. And quite a reverse election, actually. Instead of many voting for one, it was one that voted for all. And it was quite an election. It was a sweep, you might say. And the entire world was swept in to the everlasting kingdom of God, and transformed by the power of the cross. And all we're doing now is trying to let people know about the election, because this election was absolutely sure. There's not going to be another one. We're not going to redo, no redos, no recounts. There was only one vote, and that vote came down solidly in favor of the entire human race, and declared us all to be righteous and holy in the sight of God. I like that election.
That is phenomenal. Of course, the Bible describes us as the elect.
Absolutely.
And, of course, Calvinists have taken that. Is it Calvinist or what's the other one?
My mind has gone blank. Calvinism.
Jeff Robertson will be typing it in momentarily, I'm sure. Calvinist or Arminius.
Arminian, yes. There you go.
Yeah, Calvinist is the predestination that if you're going to be saved, you will be saved. And Arminianism
is... If you're going to hell, you're going to hell.
Right. Man's free will is Arminianism. And,
yes.
But when the... it must have been Paul that was referring to the elect, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
When he did, he was referencing the election of all humanity. You know, it's really fascinating. We've talked about this before, but the whole concept of freedom that was birthed in this country over 200 years ago, more than 200 years ago, and then, of course, codified in the documents, the founding documents of this country starting in 1776, was absolutely based or influenced, inspired by the gospel. And it's interesting that we have a tripartite form of government in this country. We have the executive branch represented by the presidency. We have the judiciary represented by the Supreme Court and the lower courts. And, of course, we have the legislators of the Senate and the House of Representatives. And Jesus, Michael, in the representation of the triune nature of God, represents that the Father and he were one. God was the judge or the judiciary, right?
Yes.
Jesus legislated. He was a lawmaker. He was the ultimate teacher of the law, as you've taught in the past.
Yeah.
And he's Lord. He's president.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he took it all in and of himself, representing the triune oneness of God, if you will. And we are beneficiaries on this side of the cross in the same way we're beneficiaries of the people that made a decision to be free. The difference is that we are in this country as... the Declaration of Independence talks about, we are in the process of perfecting this union. It's a constant process. It's an ongoing process. The church thinks that we're like a republic. The church thinks that we are being perfected. But in Christ, we have already been perfected. It is a finished work. This is not
Absolutely.
An ongoing work of righteousness. We are one with God already. This isn't something that we have to attain to. This is something that we have to pray for. This is not something we have to work for. We were set free from the dictates of the law and sin over 2,000 years ago. And that is an election to get excited about.
Yeah, this is nothing that we have to attain to. This is a revelation of perfection. It's a revelation of righteousness. The preaching of the gospel even will not make you righteous. The preaching of the gospel will reveal your righteousness, but the gospel cannot make you righteous. The receiving of the gospel cannot make you righteous. Believing the gospel cannot make you righteous. But the gospel itself will reveal your righteousness, even as Paul said, that he was not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And says to everyone that that believeth, and says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. And
That's
it's
awesome.
A revelation of righteousness. We believe
no
because
doubt.
Of a revelation. We don't become believers so we can have a revelation. The revelation makes us believers. And the church kind of approaches it backward. They approach it like a republic, and everything is completely backward with the kingdom of God. So.
Yes, there's a famous teaching called the backward kingdom that you need to, or the upside down kingdom, excuse me, that mm-hmm. you need to avail yourself, beautiful humans. We are just getting going. We're going to be talking about the whole concept of receiving the gospel and receiving Christ, if you will, especially in the wake of last week's program. But we want to encourage you to participate as we always do. And we've got our senior correspondent from the great state of Ohio, Cincinnati specifically, our worship leader, if you will, the legendary, the one and only, you know him, you love him, we can't live without him, Mr. Greg Amberge calling tonight. Gregory!
How's it going, guys?
Hey, it's Greg. Going wonderfully. We just, you know what we are? We are redeemed.
We are. It was interesting when I turned on the webcast about 4 minutes into it, and you were discussing the Calvinist Arminian controversy within the church, which has been an ongoing debate for about 500 years.
Yes,
and it's interesting. I've been trying to find my article on this. It's in my other computer, and I don't have it available to me, but. I went back and took all of the Bible verses that they used in the original arguments where the Reformed theologians set up their argument in favor of the absolute sovereignty of God, and the Arminianists set up their arguments in favor of the free will of man. And if you take all of the verses, 100% of the ones that they actually used in the original debates, and place them in context, they show the redemption of the world. And what we've done is we've pulled a verse from here and a verse from there and created a systematic theology. And if you actually just go back and place all those verses into context, they beautifully spell out the redemption of the world. It's very much like if you take the Campus Crusade for Christ, what was there? The four spiritual laws. If you take all of the verses right off, just go to Campus Crusade's website tonight, download the four spiritual laws, and take all those Bible verses and place them in context, and you will see the redemption of the world. But when you take them out of context, For instance, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's one of the foundational mm-hmm. principles of the four spiritual laws. The very next verse says, if you continue it, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being freely justified by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so they pull
Absolutely.
The one out, and they don't even take a complete sentence. They leave the last part of the sentence off. And say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that's a law. But the rest of it says being freely justified by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Who is freely justified? All who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Absolutely.
That's my sermon for this evening.
That's thanks,
good
Reverend,
sermon, bro.
I'm going to take
good
it off
preaching,
right now.
Roberts. Good preaching.
All right, I'm going to get off here because I think Pep's going to call back.
All right. There's
all right,
Greg Amberge.
Bye.
There we go.
Hi, Greg.
From Cincinnati.
Bergie's a good
you,
guy.
If you haven't heard, beautiful humans, Mike's teaching that was done at the Red Door Church in the bar there, at the Willowdale Bar in Janesville, Wisconsin, you've got to download that or get that. Let's go to gospelrevolution.com. You talked about, I'm pretty sure it was that teaching. It's a phenomenal teaching. It might have been in the Book of Romans series, whatever. You talked about how glad you were that you can clearly find yourself in the association of human beings that were condemned under the law as a homosexual, because by being condemned, you know that you mm-hmm. were justified, just
right.
as if you had never sinned. Is
yes.
what justified really means, right?
Absolutely. You know, and that's the big division now in the Christian world, just even about that issue of the of homosexuality. And if you go to a gay church, they systematically go through and whitewash what the law has to say about homosexuality and try to say that it was never condemned. And boy, I raised my voice in protest. I made it to the abomination, and that way I know for sure I've been redeemed, because it is those who know that they were declared to be sinners. Those are the ones who know they've been redeemed. Now, everyone's been redeemed, but you have to know that you were declared to be a sinner to truly understand that you've been declared to be redeemed.
Well, and also, you mentioned the scriptural passage about men being condemned for spilling their seed on the ground, and you got a good laugh in the bar on that one.
Most likely.
And, yes. And listen, even if you are a single guy, according to the church, the way that they interpret the teaching of Jesus, and you have a nocturnal mission, you were having a sexual dream when that happened. And if you're not married, and or you are married and you were having a dream about somebody other than your spouse, according to the understanding of committing adultery in the mind, you have broken God's commandment. And you're screwed, so to speak. And the teaching on the true conversion, on the conversation at the bar, as I said, it's available online for a download. You can download it right to your MP3 player or your iPod. It is such a phenomenal explanation and dissertation on the absolute insanity of evangelical Christianity and legalistic religion. Michael, people, and he went into such, it's such a good teaching. I'm on my third listening of it this week. And the mental instability and mental illness that is perpetrated by evangelicalism cannot be overstated.
No, it's... it can be and is in many people's lives is literally deadly. In others, it's mentally and emotionally deadly. It can kill relationships while touting the answer for the relationships. You know, the thing that became evident to me in my belief system was that we created the problems and then turned around and had the audacity to offer the answer for them. We created sin consciousness with our teaching. We created the obsessions that people had because of the forbidding of the law. We created the problems in the relationships by requiring husbands to be perfect in their household and wives to submit. And we created and created and created. Believe me, the modern day church is very creative. But what it's creative in is not necessarily a good thing. It's very creative in creating the problem, but then the audacity to turn around and say, we have the answer for the problem. And it is. It can be a very vicious cycle, no doubt. And you're absolutely correct, Glenn. It cannot be overstated at all of the harm that can come, and has come, and is coming to people's lives through this. When there is a gospel, there is a gospel. I know that it sounds funny to rail against Christianity and preach the gospel. I know that that is just a very weird dichotomy, to rail against Christianity and preach the gospel. But we have to understand that Christianity has become something separate from the gospel. You say, well, whose version? Because, my gosh, there's over 50,000 denominations and growing drastically every day in evangelical Christianity and many, many branches of Catholicism. And so the gospel is separate from Christianity. Christianity, the term Christian started as a mocking term at Antioch. They were first called Christians. They were mocking them for, and the term means Christ-like. So the church then took the term that was a mocking term and tried to teach everybody we've got to be Christ-like. And there's nothing that teaches us to be Christ-like. Just the word definition means Christ-like. Jesus died so you could be you. Jesus didn't die so he could make little Jesuses and for you to try to imitate him in a lifestyle of any kind. We should imitate him, as Paul said, he was an imitator of Christ, but he was an imitator of Christ's righteousness. And it was Christ's righteousness, not his own righteousness. Paul, as I pointed out in that teaching at the bar, totally disavowed his own righteousness. He said it is as dung, my own righteousness. My own righteousness is what prevents me from knowing Christ. My own righteousness is what prevents me from knowing the power of the resurrection. My own righteousness is what I have been trapped in, and I am renouncing my own righteousness so that I can know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That sends chills down my spine even now, saying it, because it is such a message that is not preached in evangelical Christianity. We don't get up and say, renounce your own righteousness. We have an altar call to enforce our own righteousness. We have altar calls to make sure people's righteousness is intact. You don't have to have an altar call to become righteous in God's eyes. You're already righteous. All you need is a revelation of the righteousness that was imparted unto us 2,000 years ago. This world was redeemed by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Christianity does not teach that. Christianity teaches that becoming righteous is a process of believing and repenting. Therefore, I am not a Christian, and therefore I renounce Christianity. To be able to stand firmly for the gospel. Is that the longest pause, or is Glenn gone? Okay, Glenn has got booted out of the room, so Glenn will be coming back. So, but just to continue on that same thought, I know that it is radical. I know just exactly how radical it is to say that there is a differentiation between Christianity and the gospel. But again, I mean, how many brands of Christianity disagree with the other brands of Christianity and call their brand of Christianity Antichrist? I mean, all the time I was growing up and got into the evangelical movement, the Catholics were Antichrist. 1 billion people of a Christian faith were completely Antichrist. But you see, there is a gospel that's separate from Catholicism. There is a gospel that is separate from Arminianism. There is a gospel that's separate from Calvinism. There is a gospel that is so profound that it speaks so much louder and speaks with one voice to all people. You see, the gospel doesn't speak to a certain group. The gospel doesn't speak to this group who has been baptized in water and been submerged and immersed, and it doesn't speak to this group that has been sprinkled, and to this group that thinks they're righteous because they don't divorce, or this group who started a colony of people and separated from humanity, or this group that now condemns the prostitute on the street, whoever it is. The gospel speaks one voice to all humans. The gospel speaks one voice to all humans. This is not a multiplicity of voices saying different things to different people. You see, only in the gospel can you preach the gospel the same thing to everybody without exception. The gospel doesn't say this one's righteous, this one's not. This one's making it, this one's not. This one's going to hell, this one's going to purgatory, this one is going to heaven. The gospel doesn't say this one has a relationship with God, this one does not have a relationship with God. The gospel says we are all one in Christ. And that is just the fact. So, you know, my goal is not to offend when it comes to addressing Christianity. But as Glenn pointed out, the effects of it cannot be overstated. It just cannot be overstated.
I'm back.
Yes, he is.
did you miss me?
Missed you. That was the longest pregnant pause we've had on the webcast, I think.
Well, now, speaking of pregnant pause, actually, you know what? We're going to take a break right now, Sean, and then when we come back, we've got our Pastor Ask segment with Pastor Ted from Decatur, Alabama, in the smack dab in the middle of the Bible Belt of the U.S. of A. When we come back on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
What do you want to do?
What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about.
What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
Glenn is gone again. All right, we're back again, and I hope you guys enjoy the commercials. I think that they are, number one, they're so well done and so professionally done. It's just nice to be able to produce something like that. We went for so many years that everything we had to do had to be lame. Everything had to be substandard because there was we didn't have the people involved who had the expertise to do things. And you know, the Gospel Revolution now has an energy of involvement of people around it that just expands outward and is just amazing. It really is just amazing. So I hope that you do enjoy the commercials, and I know that we have Pastor Ted on the line, and so we're going to go ahead and take Ted's call. Ted, are you here?
I am, sir, and greetings from Sweet Home, Alabama.
It's just you and me.
Oh, that's all right. We can have it. I was sitting there thinking, Glenn might have had the same thing to eat I did. You know, you have to get up and run once in a while.
We can talk about everything on the Gospel Revolution, can't we?
Absolutely.
Ted, what kind of question you got?
About yourself.
I've had a wonderful day. Ted has had a wonderful week. I've had a wonderful day, and Glenn's back, so we're all okay.
Hey,
Ted's ready to give us his question.
Now we're proving, beautiful humans, that while we are perfect, because the Lord is perfect, that technology is not perfect.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's
all right.
Fact.
So fire away, Pastor Ted.
Oh, well, I was just telling Mike I had a wonderful week. Start out early in the week. This young man, well, he's 41, but that's young, called me several times. Said, man, I'd just like to sit and talk with you sometime. I said, well, fine. He works, shift work. I said, I do not work at night. I made myself that promise years ago. I choose my hours. And he'd work us, but it worked out. Got to meet with him. He said, can you be, I'm off this week. I said, are you around at 10 o'clock? He said, yeah. I said, I will be there. And about 2 years ago, my co-pastor and me, we ordained he and his wife into the ministry. And he just has some things in his heart. And I said to him, and I won't go into detail, but I said to him, well, welcome to the real world, brother. He said, you mean you've been through this? I said, brother, I got all the T-shirts you could ask for. Been through that. I got them all. And he was, So anyways, I promised him I was going to give him a copy of the tapes, The Wisdom of God's Grace. And he was all excited. And anyway, today I met with the two pastors that I think a couple of weeks ago I mentioned to you from Decatur here. They got into this thing, I don't even know, but it was called Grace. I think you might know that word. And I've known them for a long, long time. And I got to meet with them today, finally. I was just going to sit with them about 30 minutes up at my office, and about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, we got finished. And but they're real excited. I got their brochure. I gave them the number to call in, and they promised me they would be listening or call in with a question or comment. And I won't go in. I told him, I said, I would like for you to call and just tell them your story and just tell them what you feel. Let them listen. There'll be other people listening all around the world, and you just tell them what you're telling me right now. They said, well, we're going to do that. And they've invited me to their Bible study in the morning at 7 o'clock. And I said, oh, fellas, I said, 7 o'clock? I'm not even finishing my first cup of coffee,
Not that spiritual.
Anyways, I'm going to try my best to be there because tomorrow they're going to have a Christian counselor speak to them, which is what I do. And man, you ought to hear this, man. You ought to hear this. He counsels under the blood of the cross. I said, wonderful. Well, hallelujah. Who don't? But anyway, I said, well, I'm going to do my best to get up and be there. And it's only 15 minutes from my house, But I said, my word, that's early. But anyway, and they're going to start a TV station here locally. It's, we only like, 70,000-80,000 people in this town. Nothing great big. It's a local station. We want you to come and sit and do this with us. I said, well, okay. I said, but I want you to talk to Mike and Glenn. Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. Maybe we can have them come down or something. I said, well, now, I said, let's don't go there yet. I don't know if you're ready for this. Anyway, I said, I'll tell you what they will do. I said, they will make you a promise they will stand right with you right where you're at.
Absolutely.
And they will say what you say, and they'll say it better than you, and then they'll say, come on, take a walk with me. Let's go down this road to Emmaus. And let me begin with you, with the prophets and Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you listen and promise me you'll listen with an open mind. Oh, yeah, yeah, we'll do that. And I said, okay. If you'll do that, I'll do my very best to put you in connection somehow with them. I said, oh, yeah, we'd like that. We'd like that. Now, I'm going to let him, when he talks to you, to tell his story. But I will say this. They were of a Church of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they're down to about 140-something members. And I said, well, that's a good thing. He said, what? We're losing our... I said, no, that's good. I said, whatever you tell them, don't back up. I said, brother, if you lose them all, don't back up.
Yeah.
He said, I see what you're saying. I said, all right, you stay with it. And I said, they're getting ready to change the name of the church.
Wow.
I just had a wonderful week. And I'm just kind of...
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, if they're heading down...
I'm
going to
get off here just in case one of them should call, okay?
All right. All right. Pastor Ted?
Yes, sir.
Are you a clean-shaven man?
Am I what?
Are you clean shaven? Do you have a beard or are you clean shaven?
No, no, no. I'm not bald headed, but I don't have a beard either.
I wish I was by you right now because I would just like to give you a kiss on your cheek.
I tell you, for sure. We appreciate you, Pastor Ted.
Well, brothers, I appreciate you just having me on. I know they're just... Oh, and those friends of ours that came and visited my church one time, I was talking about them today, and they came and visited his church also.
Good.
The two ladies.
Yes.
They came visit me, and I won't mention their names, but whatever.
Right.
But they came visit him once also and enjoyed
Wonderful.
And enjoyed it. So, anyways, good. Things are happening.
All right, buddy.
Wanted to let you know that.
All right,
thanks,
we'll look forward to hearing from you next week.
And perhaps I'll get to talk to that Greg from Cincinnati. You know, I grew up just Cincinnati.
you would like Greg a lot.
And be sure and tell the pastors they can call me right here at the Houston office.
I surely will. And thank you very much
for
having me.
All right, well, maybe we'll hear from him yet tonight.
Okay.
All right, Ted, good night.
Good night.
Get up at 7 o'clock. Well, you can't get up at 7 o'clock. You better get up a little early to make your coffee.
Especially if
you know,
don't
Michael,
have that
the best
cup.
Part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
That's what I grew up knowing.
Yes. now the line is open, and if you are the person or people that Pastor Ted was talking about, you just pick up the phone and dial 1-800-436-3260. That is the toll-free line. It's Gospel Revolution Wednesday night, 1-800-436-3260. You will talk to Sean O'Halloran. He will get you online, and we will hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. You know, there's so much about what is happening in the planet right now and on the planet. Pastor Ted obviously is part of it. We're part of it. Jeff's part of it. Sean's part of it. It's happening all over the world. One of the things that you said on the teaching, Michael, from the bar church there in Wisconsin was that their faith has been and is being talked about all over the world. And you said it doesn't seem like it, but you know it to be true. Why do you know it to be true?
That the faith of these people are being spoken of?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact of it is that we're getting reports of this being spoken of around the world. I mean, just like with Pastor Ted, I mean, he's sharing with two pastors. What an amazing thing that's happening there. Australia, China, where the one of our missionaries that which that is just a very interesting story. I was speaking up in Canada. Have I ever told the story about how the tapes got translated into Chinese?
Yes, but please tell us again.
Oh, it is. It really is. I don't think I've shared it on the webcast. But
I remember you did. No, I remember. It was February 14th, 2007. I remember that night.
We can depend on Glenn to come up with
something. I am really glad that lying's not a sin. I'm really glad.
But I was speaking in Canada, and there was tremendous impact from the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace on the people's lives. And the pastors were kicking me out of churches left and right. And there was this South African, a black South African, who was speaking in Canada in the same area, but he was on his way to China. He was a missionary from Africa to China and was passing into Canada to gain support and stuff for his mission. And he was going right around behind me and reporting that, letting these people know that I was, and he had never heard me, and telling people that I was false prophet, false teacher, and all of this stuff. And that little group of senior citizens there, which many of them still participate in the meetings in Canada, this has been a decade ago, and maybe more. And I started, since I was kicked out of their church, they asked me to speak at their home. So their home is just packed with people. And this gentleman got in contact with them. I am sorry, I can't remember his name. And he got in contact.
It's Armenian.
What's
Armenian?
Oh,
that was the other thing we couldn't. No, that was the other thing we couldn't think about before.
Okay.
Did I throw you off? That was some jocularity. I was trying to inject some humor without success.
That was totally without success.
Well, you know what? Nobody ever bats 1,000, Michael.
That's for sure. But
except for Jesus, he batted 1,000.
So he called these guys and asked them if he could attend the house meeting. And these people were very defensive about the gospel because it had brought so much freedom. They had received so much. They had church people crossing to the other side of the street to avoid them. And they had been denounced in the church along with me. And they had heard such harsh criticism of me. They loved me. And so they were very defensive. They said, no, you can't come to our house. And these are German people. And still very strong German accents. No, you can't come to our house because you're going to say bad things about the gospel and about Brother Mike, and we will not allow you to say anything bad about Brother Mike and the gospel. And he promised. He said, no, he said, I'm not going to say anything at all. He said, I just want to come and I want to sit and listen. And they said, you promise you won't say anything bad about Brother Mike or the gospel? He said, no, I'm just coming to listen. And that missionary from Africa to China came and sat in on a 45 to 1 hour session and was completely converted, completely and totally converted to the gospel, away from evangelical Christianity in a 1 hour session. He loaded up every tape that I had. He had special entrance into China, to where that they did not inspect everything that he had. And he took every tape that I had at that time and took it into China and got it translated into Mandarin Chinese and spread those as much as he could throughout China. That's the story. So I know
this
that the people are speaking of this throughout the world. I mean, throughout
well,
the world,
only,
this is
not,
happening.
Not only specifically about the gospel revolution, although that is true too. The church world is freaked out about the gospel. The concept, yeah. Michael, that people have literally been permanently made righteous from their inception, from their conception, and that literally they will get out from underneath the control of the professional clergy is freaking people out that are control freaks themselves and that have a desire. I mean, we saw in this country a civil war fought that eventually emancipated the African Americans from slavery. And the greatest manifestation of violence in trying to protect the institution of slavery happened right before the entire race of people were emancipated legally by Abraham Lincoln and eventually in the 14th Amendment, the United States, 14th Amendment, I think, right? Or maybe it's the 16th Amendment. I forget. Maybe Jeff can look that up. Because we like to be accurate at all times, beautiful humans. But the last-ditch effort to keep this entire race of people enslaved, Michael, was met with a great violent resistance. And we are seeing that in the church today. It's not necessarily a call to physical arms, but it is a call to mental and verbal arms. And believe me, beautiful humans, when I say that the professional clergy and those that have invested so much of their lives and their energy and their mental effort to this legalistic system are not going to go quietly into the night. And they're not, Michael. I mean, they are, you know, I mean, you being called a false prophet is about as nice as a thing has been said about you by some of the church leadership.
Oh, absolutely. We heard just a few weeks ago, we picked up on the comments that Benny Hinn made, and he completely denounced the teaching that everyone is righteous and called it absolute heresy and heretics that were teaching it and all of these things. So, positively or negatively, the faith is spoken of throughout all the world. Believe me, Marilyn Hickey has spoken up negatively about the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of the major ministries around the world have spoken up against the work of the cross to say that the work of the cross was highly limited, in fact was totally restricted to man's will, which is completely not in Scripture whatsoever. In fact, even in Hebrews it teaches, the writer of Hebrews teaches that the covenant was made between I will and I will. And that it was made between two unmovable forces in which it's impossible for God to lie. This covenant was not established between God and man. This covenant was established between God and God. And that's why it's so sure. I understand if you have the false preconceived idea that the gospel is God making a covenant with man, that the cross is God making a covenant with human beings, the only conclusion you have is this involvement of the human will. But it is a grave mistake. The scriptures teach, the book of Hebrews teaches that this covenant was made between God and God, God the Father and God the Son. And this covenant was made for man, not with man at all. And we are the benefactors of that. And we, of the Gospel Revolution, are part of those around this planet who have the ultimate pleasure of sharing the greatest news that's ever been shared with the human race. Not that if you accept Jesus, you can go to heaven, and those who don't even hear the message go to hell. Everybody goes to hell that the Christians don't reach. We are here saying unequivocally that because of this covenant, you have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. That'll make you a believer in Jesus. People are concerned that we're trying to talk people into not believing in Jesus. It's quite the opposite. They have a greater Jesus to believe in they have a Jesus who accepts them and truly loves them. You know, to get you involved in Christianity, they tell you Jesus loves you. I remember this very clearly. But then after I got saved and became a Christian, they started telling me all the things that Jesus hated about me. And he won't put up with it. And he's going to judge this and condemn that. And I got to change, and I've got to repent, repaint, re-up, re-ante. It became a wild circus. That's why I say that the church, that Christianity creates the problems and then turns around and has the audacity to say we have the answers for the problems we created.
That is a tremendous understanding. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Wednesday night gospel webcast night. We've got minutes left, folks, so call us, 1-800-436-3260. If you are listening live, and we know you are, it's Wednesday, about 10 minutes until 10 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A. That means you are listening live, and that phone number is available. Whether you are the friends of Pastor Ted or anybody else out there, the number's available to you. So give us a call at 1-800-436-3260. Mike, you talked about accepting Christ. Excuse me. And accepting or acknowledging, being aware of, understanding that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Savior of the world, this is a very, very powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And there is a difference, folks, between being redeemed and being saved. Redemption was a finished work for all humanity at Calvary, at Golgotha, over 2,000 years ago. The salvation of the soul that manifests itself in joy and peace is an ongoing process. This is why Paul talked about the renewing of the mind, the cleansing of the soul. And Michael, last week we talked about some of the challenges, I say very understatedly, that you had been facing, and how in these potentially life-threatening situations that you were finding peace and not responding the way that you used to respond in situations like that. And I think that we were careful to say that this is not an experience or a state of being that we are encouraging people to attain to. Our sense is that, and our observation is that the manifestation of the power of God, which is the gospel, can bring this sense of peace and acceptance and oneness on an ongoing basis, especially during the storms and challenges of life. I want to get your comments on that. But before we do, don't go anywhere, folks. We're probably going to go a few minutes overtime. We have not heard from him for a while, but we are so glad to hear from him. One of our Canadian correspondents is on the phone, the very handsome and talented Mr. Howard Wirch. Howie!
Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Howard.
How are you, my brother? You just had a birthday. I just saw you had a birthday on Facebook.
Yeah, another year older. You know how it goes.
23 now, eh?
What's that?
23 now, eh?
Yeah, right. And again.
Did you see I called you a hoser on Facebook there?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I thought you would.
Yeah, you know, it's great to hear you guys again. We have been away from the webcast for a while, but it's nice to take it in live again.
Glad to have you back.
Where were you?
Well, we've been around. It's just we've been so busy with life that we can never catch you live. It's usually by archive, so it's nice to check in.
You have been listening on archive?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, from time to time, we check in and make sure we're up to speed with all that's going on. And but the last few weeks, we've been able to catch a couple shows live, and it's been great.
Did you hear last week's show?
You know, I didn't hear. I was away last week, so I haven't heard last week's show.
All right, bro, you and Maddie, you got to sit down with a cup of hot chocolate, put some little marshmallows in there too, and listen to last week's show. You will be amazed and fascinated by what has transpired in Michael's life, So, because we're going to talk about that after you get off the air, but you need to listen to that. In fact, every person who's contemplating the gospel needs to listen to last week's show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I just haven't had the chance yet. But, yeah, you know, I have been really, well, Amanda and I both have really been enjoying the webcast. I have not laughed so hard when you guys had the show about Benny Hinn on there. I'll tell you, I was just pretty much rolling on the floor when Amber D got on there with the organ. I'll tell you, that was,
yeah,
that was classic.
Yeah, that was funny.
So no, you guys.
I could not get Michael to hoop, which I know he can do. But I couldn't get. He wouldn't go with the flow. But yeah, that was Amber D's cool.
I heard from both Glenn and Greg on my birthday through Facebook, and it was very nice to know you guys have been thinking about me, and actually likewise, I've been thinking about all our connections with the folks from the Gospel Revolution. It's been great, and one of the things I wanted to sort of tell you guys is that you know, when you reflect after another year has passed and life goes on, and one of the things that has come to mind is just, you know, look at how far we've come. You know, it's been an amazing journey, and I'm just so grateful and so thankful for learning about the gospel and the freedom that I'm now living in. It's just phenomenal.
That's amazing, Howard. You know, it's just the gospel is the power of God to the saving of the soul. It really is. And it is to the believer that it is the power of God to the saving of the soul, because it is a revelation of righteousness. You know, in fact, your call really is exactly what we're talking about. The power of God, the gospel being the power of God. You know, the thing that I think that we need to come to grips with is that when the gospel and a belief in Christ is applied to an attempt to become redeemed, the gospel, now this may sound strange, but when the gospel is applied to an attempt to become redeemed and righteous, the gospel loses all of its power. The gospel mm-hmm. has no power to redeem you. The gospel has no power to make you righteous. I know that sounds as outlandish as it can be to many people. The gospel does not make anybody righteous. The gospel does not redeem anybody. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God and the redemption, and
right,
then gives
right.
us this incredible redemption.
Right. The gospel was not the redemptive work. The cross
no.
and the resurrection from the dead was the redemptive work. The gospel
Absolutely.
Is the revealing of that redemptive work.
Exactly. And
wow.
Yes. And that's what you are describing. That's what you're describing. You see, and the church is destroying the power of God. Let me say that as clearly as I can. Evangelical Christianity is destroying the power of the gospel, which is the power of God, because they are applying the gospel to becoming righteous. The gospel has no application at all to becoming righteous or to becoming redeemed. The gospel is applicable only to the saving of the soul and the renewing of the mind. So the gospel has no power in the church The gospel has great power where it is freed from the restrictive, the horribly restrictive teachings of Christianity, and trying to force the gospel into a ravine that it does not belong in. The gospel is a flow of the power of God that is directed at the soul. It's directed at the mind. It is not directed to people as a choice for redemption. And when it is offered that way, what the gospel was intended to do loses all of its power. All of it. It has no ability to save the soul when it is applied to an attempt to be righteous or redeemed.
And I guess we're all just living proof that that is what the power of the gospel is. I mean, our life is evidence of that proof, of the fact that we can live in freedom, and we can see, we can look back in benchmarks in our lives and see the progress, and can see ourselves coming out in the unraveling of the confusion that we had at one time, and now we can really see where we've come and the power of that. I don't know if you remember, Mike, but when we were in Houston for the Hebrews conference there that you taught, and we were talking about being free from the fear of death. Do you remember that?
Yes, uh-huh.
You were explaining how you had no fear of death, and I was one of the ones in the room that kind of was still struggling with that. I can honestly say, this is now 2 years later, that, you know, I've come a long way from that.
Yeah.
And it's a powerful thing to see
it that. It is the power of God. It is the power of God unto the saving of the soul.
There's absolutely nothing that I've done, I can honestly say, to create that. It's just happening. And it's so...
That's it! Howard, that is the whole point that I wanted to get across. And you, this is what the whole subject of last week's webcast was about.
Mm-hmm.
Michael faced four different episodes that were very much life-threatening situations in the last several months. I mean, we thought he was on death's door, and he did. But there was no working up or having to effort to try to find this peace. And that's a point that we want to get across, folks. The meditation and the contemplation, just the thought of the gospel, as Michael said last week, will stealthily provide the peace that has already been birthed in your heart to affect your mind and your emotions, and you will find that to be true, we think. But this is not, you can't, Michael, you can't attain to this goal. You cannot attempt. It's just something that it is the metamorphosis. There is no effort that the moth makes to turn into a butterfly. It just happens when it is encompassed by the cocoon. And when you are encompassing your mind with the cocoon of the gospel, peace will flutter out of your heart. It will flutter into your soul. It will flood into your soul, we think. That is our inclination. That is our persuasion. We are persuaded of this gospel. And
when it happens to you and it's evidence within your own heart, then you know it's true for you.
That's exactly right, Howard.
Right, and here's the thing, and Michael, you said it so powerfully last week, but please repeat it, that this is not about trying to get to some place you're not. This is about just living and being satisfied in Christ exactly where a person is right now, being honest with themselves. And by the way, when you're being honest with yourself, you can't just be honest with yourself about the fact that you're a fat slug that can't hold a relationship or hold a job. You've also, that's true, and it's important to acknowledge that. It's important to be honest with yourself, and you can be honest with yourself. But you also have to be honest with yourself about your righteousness.
Absolutely.
Because, frankly, folks, your righteousness is a higher truth, if you will, than whatever physical or emotional or mental disposition that you find yourself in right now. So, yes, be honest with yourself and with whoever else you choose to be about your lot in life, but please, with all due respect, please be honest with yourself about your perfection in Christ and your righteousness in God.
That supersedes it, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the thing that we're sharing, Howard, as you know, is that my appeal to people is not for change. I don't preach the gospel so people can change. I preach the gospel so people can be at peace.
Absolutely.
And change is up to the gospel. Change is up to the heart. Change that is attained is not change. Change that is done to you is perfect change. And there is no preaching of the gospel that I do that encourages people to change. I encourage people, Glenn encourages people, Jeff encourages people, you encourage people, receive the gospel right where you are. What do I need to change? You don't need to change anything. What I believe, you don't have to believe anything. You just need to know what God's opinion is of you. And that is the essence of this gospel. The gospel that is the power of God unto the saving of the soul. It is a powerful, powerful message.
Well, we've tried it the other way. We've tried to change ourselves. We've tried to create things, and we've tried to make things happen, and it doesn't work. We've known the failure of that. And so this gospel is so logical in the sense that it's all about, it's not about us. It's all about Him.
Absolutely.
And when you rest in that and have that peace in your heart, then you can really see the change starting to happen in you.
You just don't know how you thrill my soul, Howard, to hear you state your understanding that the gospel is not about us; it's about Him. Oh my gosh, that is freedom. That is understanding. That is wisdom. That is faith. That's all of it wrapped up. That is obedience. It is all wrapped up in understanding. What a great freedom! What a great freedom to come to grips with what you just said. That the gospel is not about us. The scriptures aren't about us. They're about Him.
Hey,
well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys a lot.
Is Manda listening right now?
Yeah, she is. She's downstairs.
All right. She is.
We love you, Manda.
She's clearly Howard's better half.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and give her a big squeeze for us, will you?
All right.
Yes.
I appreciate you guys, and it's nice to hear you guys keeping on.
Love you, Howard.
It's nice to be heard.
All right. Take care.
Bye, Howie.
We'll be listening in.
All right. Call anytime. Don't be so bashful. All right. All right. There's Howard Wirch from beautiful Manitoba, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love to hear that accent.
Eh?
Yeah, it's... I'll tell you, man, it's the most, you talk about beautiful humans, the most beautiful humans are a part of this gospel revolution, and most open and loving and non-judgmental and humor-filled and compassionate, and it has absolutely zero to do with their effort in being that way. That is the effect of the gospel.
Yeah,
and the human forms that are the temple of the Holy Spirit come in all kinds of shapes and sizes and sexes and sexual orientations, Michael, and political persuasions and ethnic backgrounds and religious backgrounds. But the manifestation, you were talking earlier about the senior citizens from Canada that come to the conventions.
Yeah.
The manifestation of the gospel will wherever. See, folks, you are not where you were yesterday, and you're not today where you're going to be tomorrow. But the meditation of the gospel, the contemplation of this good news of God's grace and God's peace, will always have the same effect on your soul.
Yeah.
You may not feel it the same because you're in a different spot than you were yesterday and you will be tomorrow. But the saving, the cleansing of the soul will be the effect of hearing the gospel every single time that you hear it, whether it be through reading it, as Greg was talking earlier in the program, in context, not in the four spiritual laws of the crusade of Christ, or the, what is it called, campus crusade, or whatever the hell they call it, but reading those verses in context, understanding that the scriptures are the fulfillment, or Christ is the fulfillment of those scriptures. Hearing teaching CDs, hearing webcasts, hearing stories like Pastor Ted's and Howard's, and on it goes. Michael, if the gospel is not the power of God, there is no power of God.
Yeah, absolutely. And this and the thing that that I think is becoming clearly evident and manifest to us is this: the church has diverted the power of the gospel away from the saving of the soul into to a ravine. It is, because this has already been fulfilled. We've got to understand what the gospel is for. The gospel isn't there to try to make people righteous and convince them that if you believe in Jesus, then you're going to become redeemed. That is diverting the power of God. So we've not seen the power of God. The power of God is not manifested in healing. The power of God is not manifested in financial miracles. The power of God is not manifested in any type of miraculous work. The power of God is manifested in mental and emotional stability.
Yes.
That is the power of God. And there is no greater need on the face of this earth. What do people need? They need to be healed. They're going to die sometime. What do we need? We need mental and emotional stability. We need an outlook on this life that is foreign to this planet at this moment. We need to be able to see things through different eyes, through something that is so powerful that we realize there is nothing on this planet that we cannot face, because there is nothing. There is nothing that the heart goes through. I promise you, the heart is designed by God with the influence of the gospel. The heart is designed to recover from every tragedy, every event, every rape, every molestation, every loss, every tragedy that can possibly happen in life, or potential tragedy. The heart is designed by God to be influenced by the gospel to recover from all of life's travesties.
I want to thank Howard and Pastor Ted and Greg Amberge for participating in this webcast. Thank you to Jeff Robertson. Check out gospelrevolution.com, folks. We referenced the countdown clock to the webcast. The homepage is being refreshed every single week now for the first time in its history, and that's due to Jeff's good work there in Houston. Thank you to Sean O'Halloran for engineering, producing, and call screening this webcast. Michael, tonight you said something that I've never heard you say before. You said evangelical Christianity is destroying the power of God, the gospel.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. See, folks, I know that that is blowing your minds right now, but it is the truth. the power of God can be thwarted. Because the power of the cross can never be thwarted. That is a finished work. But the gospel is an ongoing work. The gospel, the renewing of the mind, the saving of the soul, the stabilizing, as Michael said, of the heart, that is so vital. You talk about a logical, vital, mental disposition. It is so vital. Because if you have, or when you have, a stable heart, because life is going to change. Guaranteed. There is nothing constant but change. And things, good things are going to happen, and bad things are going to happen, and there's going to be lots of boredom in between. The irony is that as a person contemplates and mutters, meditates this gospel, it puts your mind and your heart in a more stable position. So, Michael, that you can make better decisions about your heart or about your life.
Absolutely.
And about your relationships and the decisions you made. There's so much, folks. And, you know, listen, Rush Limbaugh goes on for 3 hours a day. Glenn Beck goes on for 3 hours a day. All these guys on television and radio. We could do this for 6 hours. We could do this for 10 hours a day. The inspiration and the information and the stabilization of the gospel is eternal. It is ongoing. It will always be fresh. It'll always be exciting, especially to those hearts that have been freed, that were once bound in the chains of religion and legalism, and as Michael said earlier, sin consciousness. And we'd love to go every day. We'd love to go on and on and on. But we're thankful for what we can do right now, and we want to thank you for participating and supporting this gospel revolution. Thanks, Michael, for everything.
Thank you, Glenn.
Glad you're not dead yet.
Not yet.
No, I'm glad. I'm sure that everybody, or at least most people that are listening, would say yes and amen. I'm glad I'm not dead yet, too. That's coming, and as Howard mentioned earlier, we're all good with it. Until we do speak next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, shalom, everybody!